Hola, welcome to Once Talks, a We Are Not Zombies podcast. I'm your host, Ramiro, and today we are very, very excited to be connected and talking with this human born in Houston, Texas. He's a teacher and student of regenerative agriculture. He's a mushroom grower, a soil smith, a dissident, a natural farmer, a seed collector, a citizen scientist, the founder of Cultivated Mind, Sean Hawkins. How are you, brother?
Hey, Romero. Thank you very much for having me. I'm doing good.
I'm happy to be talking finally with you. And first, and because we just mentioned it, Sean, tell us, what is being a soil smith?
A soil smith is essentially like a blacksmith. You know, we create and regenerate soil that is native to that land, so you don't have to bring in soil from somewhere else where you might have to get it from a facility. You can just take the land that's around you and turn it into a healthy, fertile place to grow food.
How did you start it in this path?
I would have to go back pretty far, really, to my grandfather and the farms that he's had his entire life. And as a child, walking through them and being able to eat food straight off the plant, it was something that always stuck with me, because as I grew up, you start to realize, you know, how tasteless a lot of our food is. So every time I go back to my grandparents' house and I get that just explosion of flavor, and the difference is one was at a grocery store and one was from my grandfather's garden. So it's that need to grow food has been with me since a young age. Of course, I didn't do that for a large part of my life. I actually did construction. I can basically build a house from the ground up, from the concrete to putting the last shingle on, and did that for about 20 years, actually. And the whole time, sort of farming was just in the background. I kind of did it as a hobby. And since we're on a pretty open podcast, I was actually an underground cannabis grower. I did that for a long time. So it, when you're in that sort of realm, you have to do all the education yourself. So there was a lot of book reading, a lot of experimentation, a lot of failures along the way. But the more and more I learned, the more I really just grew to love how to grow this plant. And that started to branch into food when I noticed there was this huge need for us to get back to growing that way, especially when I go back to the flavors of my foods. And at first, you just notice it as taste. And then you start noticing it, really, that taste is a direct link to health. And when you start making those connections, and the cannabis market sort of dropped out, we had a lot of problems here in America. It's not profitable to be a cannabis grower anymore, unless you're one of the big guys. Unfortunately, it's just what happens whenever you make something quote unquote legalized through the regulation system, or versus decriminalized, where you sort of hands off and let sort of the public take over. It's caused a massive amount of regulation, which I'm definitely against. So, that became less and less attractive as time went on. And the need to see my family and my friends get healthier became more and more apparent. And that path just sort of was a very easy transition, because, hey, cannabis is just a weed. It's just a plant that grows like everything else. And all of those strategies, you know, were pretty much exactly the same when I transitioned over. And it really just sort of got a hold of me whenever I went to my first Korean natural farming class. I thought that I was going to learn about composting. In fact, when my buddy, Rob Bass, invited me, so I thought I was going to, I was like, oh, are we going to an advanced composting course? I'm spending $1,000, more than $1,000 to to just fly out to this place for 5 days and spend more money taking this 5 day course. Well, by the end of the first day, I really knew what all the fuss was about. And it was such a wonderful surprise to be introduced to this method, not online, but in person with, you know, the teacher, with Chris Trump. And it just really showed me that this is the way. When we take these systems and we learn to partner with nature, we can create beautiful things. Nature has been doing this for a very long time. And when we start to understand her and we start to be able to make changes to our land that is in line with what nature wants to do, wonderful things happen. And when you see the detriment that our agricultural systems have done to our land, done to our food, as most food is very devoid of nutrition. It is absolutely devoid of nutrition with the way that we have implemented our agricultural practices. In order to get that back, we have to get back to nature. And when I saw this just foundational education, things that were like, ah, I have control over my land now. I don't have to go buy this product or implement this spray method from this company. I can create those things in a natural way on my land with my own materials. And it's just like, well, duh, I don't need anyone else. I can do this within a 10-mile radius of my farm. Of course, this is the answer. Why would we do anything else? You know, and that's just ever since then, the education to be able to bring this method to everybody else has just grown rapidly, because it's such a vital piece of information for everyone. And it really just sells itself. I don't have to do a whole lot of work in getting people to agree that we need to be going down a more natural path. So this is why I'm here, to get the word out.
So it's because you took this workshop that you decided to make a shift, or were you like just making construction and working with cement and with all these materials, you know, that I suppose now you have a strong opinion about them, and suddenly you decided to drop out of it? I wonder, because it's important to understand what's our breaking point. No, I'm curious to know what was the point that you were decided to be, you know what, I'm turning totally to connect to the land. I love that decision. Mm-hmm. And I would like to know.
Right. You know, that's a really tough one. I would have to say fate, to be honest, and a little bit of faith. Because it wasn't necessarily something that I would have done if the situation hadn't revealed itself to me that there needed to be a change. While I was doing construction, I was making pretty good money and life was just sort of cruising along. Didn't really pay attention to much of the world. In fact, if it wasn't for a car accident that I had in the middle of this, I'd probably still be doing construction right now. This car accident totaled my truck. I hurt my back really bad. I couldn't walk actually for almost a whole year. And it really put me into this sort of midlife crisis where I was like, what am I going to do with my life? I can't go back to doing, you know, climbing around on roofs and moving materials. You know, this is not going to be something for my life. And well, because I was doing, you know, some underground gardening on the side, it just made me go, okay, I can sit in a chair and read a book and plant some plants, and that can be a life for me. And in the process of learning how to take care of this plant, it really revealed nature to me. And that just opened up this huge world and made essentially expanded my entire consciousness of what was going on around us. And that's sometimes how it happens. Sometimes something bad happens to you, and instead of taking this moment and really stewing in it and having it become something that pulls you down or drags you down, you use that as something to build upon, use that as some time to think, as some time to educate yourself and elevate yourself. You know, don't necessarily take all the bad things that happen in your life and let them really wear you down or drag you down. They can be benefits in your life, because there is a yin and yang in everything. when something bad comes along. Now, I'm immediately looking for the good, like where's the window, where's the opportunity that comes with this?
Yeah.
You know, and that's definitely something that's gotten me into this position and kept myself, you know, sane and moving in a good direction. You know, our mental powers are important.
You mentioned something very important, which is a farm, no? Having a farm. And I'm sure a lot of people that listen to us, that is watching, they're like probably in a city, you know, inside of a huge system, mm-hmm. probably with the children, you know, probably with a mortgage, probably working a 9-to-5. You know, it might sound a wild dream or a far dream to think I have the money to have a farm. What would you say about that?
I would say that farming can be very cheap. In fact, that's one of the main reasons that I loved Korean Natural Farming and Jadam. It taught me how cheap farming could actually be. Now, of course, if you're in your backyard, you can have some really poor soil, and these methods might take a minute to work. It might take you, you know, a whole season of just building up your soil to make it healthy enough to put a plant in. Which it can be a little bit of work for someone who's working a 9-to-5. For someone who's working a 9-to-5, there are some quick steps that you can use to bypass this. You can find a nice, healthy, quality soil and grow in pots, even. Or even take that quality soil and mix it in with some of your native soil and get very healthy, easy to grow plants for your area. You know, when you go to a nursery, of course, every region is a little bit different. Talk to them, say, hey, which one am I going to have the most success with, even if I forget to water, you know? So start there. And if you can just grow something and get it to finish, I would say you're having success. Like, that is the beginnings of it. You're going to have failure whenever you're farming. It's tough. We've gotten to a point where we don't educate our public on how to do some of these basic things that were just part of life.
Yes.
Back in the day, you know, this was just something that you did. You knew how to farm, you knew how to grow your own food. It was something that was sort of necessary, and it can be a little bit challenging at first. But once you get it down, you start to realize how simple it really is. It just becomes a routine. It's like, hey, every week I do these steps A, B, and C, and in about 3 or 4 months, I've got enough food to completely supplement all of my produce. Like, I don't have to buy produce at the store anymore because I took a couple of 4x8 spaces and packed them with as many vegetables as I could for my climate, my region.
So you got to be curious about your health, about food, about the quality of the food that you're getting. You mentioned something very important, the flavors of the food. I think sometimes we can forget how juicy and how delicious a strawberry or an apple or a banana should be.
Mm, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's a big part to that. Actually, when food has that flavor, that means that it has completed its entire genetic process. That means that it has fulfilled. Of course, there is a little bit of selection involved. Of course, some varieties have a little more flavor than others, of course. But what that really means is that it's starting to produce all of its secondary metabolites. These are all of the things that it doesn't need to survive. But when it has all of the basic building blocks to make it a healthy plant, it starts producing flavors. Then it starts producing smells and all of the extra compounds that really, those are the things that are responsible for our health. It's not the fiber. It's not the material just to get the plant to survive and live, which is what happens whenever you put chemicals on a plant. That's the only function it can achieve, is get to reproduction, get to seed, and then that plant will never achieve that level of health is really the main epidemic that we're going through. A nice, easy way to counter that is with mushrooms. Actually, you can grow mushrooms at home on logs. I have a video that I need to put on my channel right now showing you how to inoculate these mushrooms, set them up in your backyard so that you can have a very healthy food right there in your backyard with very minimal input. It's very cheap. You don't have to do a whole lot of work. You go out there and water the logs every once in a while, and the medicinal compounds and the food nutrition that these things provide is far and above anything that you're going to find at the store. And then when I would say, if you're looking for vegetables that are healthy, you don't have the time, you don't necessarily have the space, you need to find something local. Of course, in Mexico, that seems to be a lot easier. Yes. I really enjoyed coming down there. You guys had some wonderful food, and like I could smell like the fruit and the vegetables from like way over there. You know, it was amazing. You guys definitely have an advantage there. I felt better and healthier whenever I was eating from these local farms. And that's what I encourage people to do. Find the local farm if you don't have the time or the energy to do it. And get your farm from as close of a farm to your land as possible. That will apply the best amount of nutrition for you, you know, assuming that they don't use chemicals.
Yes, of course. Of course, that would be the first question to scratch out of the way, right? What, not using chemicals.
Absolutely.
Having absolutely. Nothing to do with Monsanto. No Monsanto logos anywhere.
Absolutely. Yeah, because what happens is, those chemicals, when they get into the soil, what they do is they destroy the microbial profile that's living in the soil. And these microorganisms are what are important to the health of the plant. It's currently why I like growing mushrooms right now, because it's so much simpler to grow a mushroom to get more nutrition out of it. It's a few more steps to get that potato or get that cucumber or get that carrot to be as healthy. And when we restore the balance in the soil by, let's say, growing mushrooms, which is a fungus, it creates a balance with the bacteria. You start creating this ecosystem, and those microorganisms boost the health of the plant. Without those microorganisms, you cannot have a healthy plant. So anytime you add a chemical, anytime you add an herbicide or a pesticide, you shut that system down. You know, you can't see it visually, but if we were to take things and put them underneath a microscope, you would see that all of the life in the soil has just been decimated by our current agricultural practices. So anytime you till, anytime you spray a chemical, anytime you spray an herbicide, anytime you leave the soil bare, if you rip all the plants out and you leave just open dirt, you're causing a lot of oxidation, and you're losing all of your nitrogen right out into the atmosphere. When you could be holding that nitrogen, sequestering that nitrogen into the soil, and it's an organic nitrogen instead of the chemicals that we put on there, you'll establish a balance, and nature starts to take over. And of course, we get health from it. We're allowing nature to do the thing that it's been doing for millions of years. You know, who are we to come in and start going, well, I want to add this nutrient and everything's going to be okay. I'm going to put this giant puzzle piece into this very intricate mechanism that's been functioning for a long time. And that machine's just going to run just fine, isn't it? You know? So we just have to change our concepts of how we look at these things. There's some very straightforward procedures, which is what I love about it. Yes, it's a complicated system, but with KNF, with Jadam, with mushroom growing, even there are some very straightforward steps to get you guys on this path so that you can turn your degraded, toxic, trashed out land into a healthy food forest, into a healthy biome. So I'm excited.
So there's several steps to take here. If you are in the city and don't have a garden, you should look for the closest farm or local grower or local market, farmers market, and be careful about the pesticides and all these factors. But there's by now probably an option everywhere we can think that. And in Mexico, I know we have markets, and even in Monterrey or Guadalajara and in these big cities, there are ways now to get these local foods and vegetables that are growing, as you said, near your native land. There's definitely options in the US, I don't know if everywhere, you know, I know you're in Houston. I am familiar to the Laredo surrounds, and I'm not sure there's many options. You know, there's HEB everywhere, and there's just these markets with these fruits. I had the chance to live for a few years in New York, you know, with these, all these trends of the farmers market. And whoa, Sean, after a few months there, I appreciated for once in my life at that level, the importance of the smells and flavors of our fruits and vegetables, and the importance of sun, you know, of the power of vitamin D. Because yeah, sometimes you just go through your days and the stress of life and don't stop to question that, and don't stop to try to taste all the flavors that can be there. So after a few years living there, I totally changed the way I saw all these issues and the importance of our food. And that's why I wanted to go over these important points, because anyone that is listening to us resonates with going to the supermarket and not finding a good avocado or not finding a good fruit because, okay, well, I'll eat it in a week from now, you know, because it's super hard, or probably it's going to turn its color. And we've all gone to those situations and normalize it by now, you know? And precisely what we're talking, it's that's not what should happen. We should not comfort with that. We should get out of that comfort zone that implies the supermarket or the to-go app or whatever, and go find and connect with the real humans that are working and connecting with the soil. And the question is, do you think that in the US, for example, that you said we have a probably tougher situation here, do you have anywhere in the US you can find an option? And I love what you said about finding good soil and finding pots and growing at least the first vegetables and herbs there. No, that's definitely a huge step to take.
Yes, absolutely. We definitely have a problem here in Houston, and you can do a lot in your backyard, even if you have a small space. We do things called water walls, where you'll use a vertical space, and you actually, depending on which direction the sun's coming, you can grow food on a vertical wall. So you don't need a lot of square footage. We do have to sort of take that into our own hands. We do have a few co-ops here and there. Of course, people are busy. People, you know, don't necessarily want to take the time until, of course, your health starts to subside. And then, you know, once you're in that position, you know, I think what this comes down to is a lot more education, number one, and a lot more availability. one of the things that I've been hoping to do down here is start an educational facility, actually. I want to be able to teach people how to do natural farming and actually allow the public to come bring material into this location. We will process it for them into their fertilizers, into their inputs. While we're doing the education, we might take a little bit of a cut just for the processing and the labor and things like that, just to make it sustainable to pay for the guys that are doing the work and doing the education. And we build these communities where people can show up and can learn and can come get the fertilizers, because, you know, at one point I was selling them. I can't keep up with everybody. You know, there's a lot of land that needs remediation, you know, and it's a little bit of work. And then the other part is that when you have these things, when you have these tools, which is what one of the best parts about K&F and Jadam is, you know, when you figure out these recipes and you have them, you sometimes don't know what to do with them, you know? So we want to be able to allow people to come in, get the education, get the actual hands-on product that they can go apply on their land, and start really creating this movement of people who are becoming more conscious. It's definitely difficult here in Houston. We are probably the slowest movers when it comes to health and it comes to farming. The East Coast and the West Coast are way ahead of us, which maybe puts me into a good position as I'm probably one of the only teachers
definitely
in this
definitely
area.
I was totally surprised to know that when I met you that you were based in Houston, because exactly what I'm saying, there's you go there, and I know if you go to some parts of Houston and you drive 40 minutes, you can find co-ops or parts of the city where there's markets that are coming from other places, but that's not the norm. And something important, Sean, this is not about throwing guilt, as the system loves to do it in all the issues, to ourselves. This is not about that. We need to accept that in the middle of all this, we do need to make the extra mile because of our health and the health of our family. That's the most important thing, because the system, clearly, it's not there for us. And the rules of the game, there are not in place for you to finish up your 9-to-5 and be completely full of energy and be like, okay, now I'm going to do a new whole job and I'm going to entrepreneur in this way. No, the rules are set up in the complete opposite way. So we need to accept that and find a way to go to continue this path, you know, which is definitely requires a bit more of work. And I'm saying all this because something very important that you do and that you do in the Cultivated Mind is to empower others into these local farming foundations or initiatives or communities or principles, like all these applies, you know, all these solutions that you see one can see your videos in Odyssey and Instagram and all these, all your sources, your webpage, of course. And the videos are there and it seems so easy to do it. And it seems that it's so powerful once you achieve it and you create these brains that are the mushrooms and all these new greens grow. And it's just magic. You know, sometimes I take, you know, the residuals of that are not residuals are just seeds of what I'm eating and regrow it. And you totally feel happiness the morning after you start seeing the sprouts. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful feeling to have.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And if anybody wants to follow my social media, it's Open Source Farmer is the educational platform that I go by. And you can find me pretty much anywhere, Rumble, Odyssey, Instagram, Facebook. It's Open Source Farmer. And that you know, you really touched on something about it is really tough out there right now. It really is. The only reason I'm even in the position that I'm in now is delayed gratification. It is putting aside the things that I want to do for the things that I really need to do. As tired as I am, as much sleep as I've missed out on, you know, I often say that evil can't win. You know, they're not going to win in the end.
Yeah, no.
But that might happen next generation or the generation that if we don't get off of our asses and get to work, you know. If we want it to happen now, then we're going to have to be that movement. We're going to have to be that shining light. And there's many ways that we go about this. Number one, like I said, delayed gratification, which really comes down to an internal fight. There is this, I really love philosophy and I really love the idea of meditation and being able to expand your mind by looking inward, by just sitting quietly and recognizing the things in your life that are not necessary. I have a buddy who's a Buddhist monk and I love listening to, he wants to be a Buddhist monk. He's not a Buddhist monk, but he's trying to go down that path, you know? And he talks a lot about desire. And I think I had like a short interview with one of your other journalists whenever I was at the Greater Reset, and they asked me how to not be a zombie. And my answer, and it just sort of came to me as well, you need to control your desires. You know, when we can control our desires, when we can control the things that we want, that opens up this whole new world. Like, we're the ones that have control now. It's not our brains, our like ticking, thinking machine monkey brains that are the ones that are, that takes control as soon as we see some sort of stimulus and we just act, you know, and that's how they get us. You know, they have been propagandizing us for so long that it's just like an A and B. Show us A and we'll do B. You know, when you can start to learn that that is a desire because you want something, and you can control those desires and not take action. One of the ways that I would say that that's definitely helped me is in the business of not making quick, rash decisions. Something bad might happen with the company and I'll be like, in my mind, I'm like, oh my God, I have to do this thing. And I look later and I'm like, if I had done that quick response that my brain had told me to, I probably would have lost a lot of money instead of just waiting, let the situation sort of play out, make sure that all of my ducks in a row, I'm not being unjust. I'm not being deceptive in my practices. And the universe just tends to fall into place for the most part. That's not, obviously not for everyone, but if you just keep that monkey mind from coming up and reacting and creating new problems, right? Because that's when you start creating new problems, when you start reacting too harshly and too swiftly. And also a little bit of grace when it comes to other people, which has not been my strongest suit in life. I love debate and I love getting into it with people. And it was more just, you know, sort of a fun, you know, I love the idea of debate because when you're in a debate class with other people, that's what you're there to do. You know, and people sort of enjoy it. But when you get out into the real world, people do not enjoy debate. People do not enjoy hearing things that their minds and their brains are not used to hearing. So approaching people with a little grace and realize that everybody's at a certain level and some people are ready to wake up and some people aren't. And just dropping those seeds and dropping those hints and keeping yourself true, has gone a really long way, when it comes to solving those sort of societal situations where, let me get back on track here, where you've got this job, you've got all these things going on, you've got family, you just want to come home and you want to relax and you don't have the time to do something else. It takes a team. It takes help. This leads into what I call reciprocity. And it has been just phenomenal to getting me to this point of I'm going to do something good for someone else because I want to, because this person needs the help and I could possibly see potential down the road of them helping me. I'm not expecting it. I'm not going out of my way to be like, hey, I gave you this thing. Where's my payback? No, but if they come back around and they reciprocate of their own volition, well, now you have a relationship that you can really work with because that person is conscious enough to have you in mind and you might be able to really work with this person. So I would say, find a team to work with. Find people that you can truly trust. You know, there's a testing time, right? It takes me a year or two before I really develop like a business relationship with somebody. And it's a little give and take. You do a very small project together that comes out and is completely like, ah, now we can move on to the bigger thing that's happening here. So like, for example, with my business partner, I made a garden for him. He wanted a garden in his mom's backyard. And we did the whole thing. We mapped it out. I found the soil. I found the wood, built the beds. I did the application of the irrigation system. And this took a couple of weeks and I made sure I finished it all the way through, completely through. And he paid for all the materials and all of that. And that was that test to see if I would do what I said I was going to do. You know, and I had to do that outside of my normal job, right? And that's that little extra work that you might have to put in for the next year or two until that reciprocity comes back. Like when I was teaching classes, The only reason that Young Sung Cho and his family came to stay at our house and taught with me is because I was doing free classes. If I hadn't gone out of my way to do this thing and put my name out there and put that energy out there, you know, when you put out positive energy, that's how you get it to come back. You know, if you don't put out any energy at all, well, there's nothing to come back. So you might have some failures. You might have some disappointments. There were several classes I did where I ended up losing money, you know, but that's okay. You know, it wasn't much. That's why I love Jadam and Korean Natural Farming, because it's so cheap. Oh my God, I lost $20 in potatoes. You know, it's not that big a deal. There are tools and there are things around us, and it's time for us to get busy. It's time for us to get going and drop a vice and help out your friends and family and create these relationships that will build all of us up together and create this community, just like the Greater Reset. It was so wonderful to see everybody bring their little piece of the puzzle, and it's going to create this huge movement altogether. So I'm super excited about what the future holds.
I love that. And I share it. I totally share that vision with you, Sean. I also think that, yeah, they're not going to win. They've been so close to lose everything, the powers that be, that's what I mean, that they've invented narratives and planetary moments like the pandemics, and we can go on and on pointing out to different points in our story just to stop the human leap, just to stop the greater awakening, you know, the people's reset and all that. I totally believe that. I think that resonates with the awakening that also the planet is going through in this energetic, especially galactic moment. So yeah, everything it's getting to this powerful vibrating moment. And it's important to realize it, because we are part of that moment and we decided to live this precise moment. You know, if we believe that we've been here several incarnations and probably we're going to continue until our energy is free and we turn into other galaxies or whatever we might think, then we understand that we chose to be here. And what's happening right now, planetary, geopolitically, it's so unique. And we are front row living it and accepting that we are all sharing this moment and living it together. And we have the possibility in seven generations that I've also heard this concept at the Greater Reset, that we are totally able to create the change that we are right now dreaming and talking about. But you are very true. We need to start today. It is not about finding the guilty because we're living this moment. No, it's about realizing the power that we have and take these steps and do the extra mile that we each need to do every day, every day, just for today.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's definitely a lot of change that's happening right now. We are in the midst of a lot of chaos and change. To be honest, I enjoy it. This is where I thrive the most. Yes, yes. You know, I've come from a lot of chaos, actually. And I watched your interview with Derek. And one of the things that he talks about is, you know, going to jail. And that's a big problem here in America. A lot of people gone to jail. I'm one of them for, of course, cannabis. You know, everyone's been caught up in that trap. It's a big scheme. It's a big money-making scheme, essentially, to get someone in the system, get them recorded, you know, and ran into the same problems of not being able to have an apartment, not being able to get jobs. You know, we're in a time where that's going away, where people are getting tired of the government putting people in jail for drugs, where it was totally different 15 years ago. 15 years ago, you know, you were caught with a joint, you know, you're going to jail. Of course, now, even in Houston, where they were very, very strict on it, you know, they're realizing that they're hurting more people than helping, because everyone's consciousness sort of bubbled up at the same time. That is something that has been going on for a long time. We're now sort of seeing the results of that. And we're in a moment right now where we haven't seen the full results of what they did to us in the pandemic. You know, they pushed really hard, and you can never control everyone. And just like in my position, I would have kept doing construction. I would have kept on with my life, just making money and trying to pay my bills. And then when COVID hit, it was this just light bulb that went off in my head. Like, oh, I thought people were just ignorant. No, this is done on purpose. This is done with a mission. There is something going on here that is coordinated. And of course, now that you see it, you can't really go back. So it's caused a lot of, you're right, turmoil politically with friends and family. And I know everybody is probably going through that right now, which is another part of this big change thing that's happening. We are going into the age of Aquarius. The internet is blossoming. They're trying to tamp it down. They're trying to control it. But all of these things are bubbling up so that the public can be informed, so that knowledge and can spread, and eventually that knowledge will turn into wisdom. It might take a little bit more time, but here we are doing the work. Here we are building the systems, creating the alternatives, because just like whenever, you know, I had known about Freedom Cells, I had known about Derek, been watching his material because I've been in alt news for a little bit, just sort of watching, you know. And then when COVID hit and the Freedom Cells network went from like 3,000 people to like 30,000 people in a matter of a couple of months. And when that happened, we didn't necessarily have the means to take advantage of that. When I showed up, which was after the initial outbreak, to the Freedom Cells meeting, there was a couple of sort of, hey, we're here, what do we do now? You know, and we're in the process, I think, with the Greater Reset, with some of these other movements that have been happening, where we're going to truly build an infrastructure that way, as soon as the next problem happens and everybody starts to start jumping on board, we have, here's your solutions. Here's the blueprint. Here is how you take action. Here are the facilities and the locations you can go to take part. We really need a blueprint that lays this out for new people whenever they come on board, because then we can start to use that manpower and use that that initial, let's say, excitement that comes with people coming onto a new movement and understanding, hey, there's other people that are on board with you and want to take action and want to have change happen. And we're in that process, and we need to continue to collaborate with each other. You know, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that, you know, pamphlet looks like of, hey, here's step A, B, C, and D of how to come get involved, you know, which I think we're sort of working on that together. One of the main things that I wanted to bring up, just that energy to put out there with the pun intended, is energy. I think that we really need to work on electricity. I think once we develop, you know, solar panels and windmills are cool. I like them. They're a small part of a bigger whole, obviously. Yeah. And once we sort of solve those problems, once we solve our decentralized energy problems, I think after that, the sky's the limit. People will really be on board if we're like, hey, this community we have over here is not connected to the grid, and everybody can run all of their electricity and all their refrigerators and all of their vehicles off of this electric system that we've created of maybe multiple things put together. I said solar panels, windmills. Biogas is another option, especially down there in Mexico. Biogas would actually work really well for you guys because you don't have too much of a winter, so it won't freeze, so you can continue to get that energy development there. You know, there I have heard of some free energy devices. I'm still looking around. Oh, I would love to see someone come bring that to me and prove it to me, because, whoa, you know, I'm definitely excited about that. I'm open to it.
I mean, there's definitely research and studies of this free energy, right? The studies of Tesla, those papers that got away, that there's maybe just gossips, but there's definitely this possibility of decentralizing energy in a way that we can't even imagine right now. That has nothing to do with the solar panels.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I believe that there's a device out there like that, but this is what I want to say to it. Prove it to me.
Yes, yes.
Show it to me. I want to see it work. I'm tired of seeing all of these examples no one can ever prove to me. It's time that we took action in this arena, right? We've got all of these other pieces together. I think there was a gentleman, Alexander and Indon. They have a 3D building printing machine. So that you bring this machine onto your property, you collect dirt and clay and sand and water, and you make a building out of the materials right there on your property.
Wow.
Like that is so foundational. That's the kind of thing that we need. And now we just need to add the electricity. And once we do that, you know, this cohabitation of decentralized systems is right there in our grasp. Like once we have that, I think we have most of the other systems in place to really start moving some heads and getting, you know, the lifeblood flowing in these decentralized movements.
Definitely the important concept to understand and grab to it is decentralize our lifestyle, our way of thinking, our decision-making process. Everything has to do with decentralization. I think there's nothing wrong to accepting that we are indoctrinated, that there has been, depending on the way we were educated, but we were definitely programmed in so many ways that we need to deprogram and then re-educate ourselves in all matters. We Are Not Zombies, we love to say and think and share that we should not think outside the box. We should destroy the box. We should step on the box. We should set fire to the box. Thinking outside the box is respecting that it exists, a box, and that you can live in within the box. And that's not the human way. That's not what the free spirit, it's inhabiting this avatar that we all are. Definitely, we should be connecting, and this also has to do with the mushrooms. We are a mycelium. We might not see it. We might not see it in this video call, you know, but we are definitely connected in the same way that there's a huge planetary mycelium below us with the mushrooms. And I want us to get deep into that conversation. But what do you think of that concept?
Yeah, so we are absolutely all connected in more ways than just the mycelium, even. There are, you know, things that I would call spooky woo that are going on that I have no explanation for, that I have experienced in my life, that really, I think, bind all of these things that we see, you know, from down to the molecular structure of atoms, all the way to the structure of our solar systems and to the stars above. Everything is in itself. Everything is a replication or a representation of itself. And when one thing I've noticed about you saying destroying the box, well, I'll tell you this, we unfortunately cannot fight the system by trying to fight it, by trying to destroy it. The only way that we can destroy the system is by making it obsolete. When people ignore the system, when people look at it and go, no, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to go do this over here instead, then we've really destroyed it. When we make it to where people can see the box but go, no, I choose not to do that, then it really has lost its power, because if we try to take a sledgehammer to that box, we try to take fire to that box, it's going to blow back. It's going to do damage to us. It's a waste of our energy. It's a waste of our creativity. When I was at the Greater Reset, I heard some amazing bands and musicians, and even you guys, I saw some of y'all's videos of how you create, you know, new social dynamics. right? That's the important part. When that's how you grab people, when you can grab people with music, when you can grab people with poetry, yes, and literature, that's where you really get the majority of the people involved. That's where you really get people to wake up and their eyes open up. And y'all are creating this sort of revolutionary movement right here. I swear in 10, 15 years, we're going to look back and be like, that was punk rock. Like that was the start of it right there. You know? So like we're here. Anybody who's listening to it, I encourage you to get involved in person locally. Yes. I know we're on a over the internet here, but next time I get back in Mexico, we should definitely do this in person.
Yes, definitely.
And get our that resonance that comes off of our bodies, that magnetic field that comes off our bodies in the same room connected together.
Yes, you know, yes, definitely. That's definitely. Better. And when we say box, we don't mean the system. We mean precisely what you are saying. We mean the set of rules, you know, the book of should do, should be. Yeah, that's what should be thrown away. And we should connect with precisely everything you mentioned, the free expression of being alive. And that is taking pleasure out of all our senses and connecting with the creative flame that we all have. We all draw and created and invented stories growing up. We all, or most of us, or many of us, stopped doing it, or many windows or doors closed. And that's the important thing. We should reopen them. And for the younglings, we should never allow to be closed for them. We should allow them to be free all the time, not to get to 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50 years old and wake up. There's nothing wrong with that. There's it's never late, no, to join the evolution. But it's better if we start creating these new parallel systems, parallel ways of coexisting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're doing it. It's so wonderful to see the culmination of this, because at the beginning of the pandemic, I was very depressed.
Oh, yeah.
I had no one to really back me up. Just a couple of friends here and there were like, hey, man, I agree with you. I can't say anything, but I agree with you. You know, and, you know, my very distinct disdain for the mask and seeing that as like the crux, as the culmination, the linchpin in a lot of the fear that was going on. And I fought it. I fought it hard. And nobody, you know, it was literally like watching zombies. You know, no one had the ability to think. Like any sense of logic just went completely out of the window. And that happens with some people, and it doesn't happen with others, and that's okay. I think things play out as they should. The universe is so mysterious, and we can't begin to even fathom why it's here or why we're here, what the purpose of all of this is. I try to think of it in like galactic terms. You know, when I think about this time right here, I'm like, yeah, we're going through some terrible things, but it's a pendulum. You know, this push is going to lead to some really great, amazing times that are, I think, right around the corner. You know, we just need to start implementing our farming techniques. Like I said, you want to talk about some mycelium, talk about some farming stuff. We can definitely get into that. Let's talk about regenerating your soil. Number one, something that everyone really needs to do so that you can get the health back in your bodies. And you won't go out into your land and you walk around barefooted, you're going to get beneficial microorganisms that come up into your feet and just increase the health of your body, because you need these things. You need these microorganisms. The majority of our bodies are bacteria and fungus and other microorganisms that did not originate with us. So we're going to come in. We are going to find a very healthy location that is within, you know, 20, maybe 50 miles of your location. You want to go up in elevation. You don't want to go down in elevation. You want to go up in elevation up to about 500 foot is as far as you would need to go. You don't need to go up that far. And you're going to try to collect what's called leaf mold soil. This leaf mold soil is the broken down organic matter of all of the leaf droppings, all of the stick droppings from the forest. You're going to find a place that has been untouched. The least amount of human footprint or traffic. It has a healthy, you can see healthy growth happening. You don't see a bunch of disease everywhere. And you're going to collect some of this leaf mold soil. It doesn't take very much at all. You're going to, you know, maybe like two small handfuls, and you're going to match that with a potato or some sort of a starchy root vegetable.
You mean the leaves that when you go out to these upper parts that we all walk and just sounds amazing when you're stepping and breaking all them up, and instead of doing that, just collecting them, right?
Yeah, so you're going to move the ones that are not broken down. You're going to move that out of the way. Yeah, and you're going to get that beautiful crinkle sound. And then you're going to get down to the parts that are darker. They're going to be very like broken down. They're going to be almost dirty, almost dirt, but not quite dirt. And really only about the top inch. This is where the health of our world comes from. It comes from these untouched areas that have established a microbial balance. When this balance is established, it starts cycling nutrients. It starts creating all these secondary metabolites. It starts creating all of the health functions for the tree and the plant that help it fight off disease, that activate its immune system, and then connect and communicate amongst all the other trees and all the other life what's happening to each other. If a single plant, a tree in the forest gets damaged, all the other trees know that it's happened, and they all start working together to help heal the one plant that's been damaged. It's amazing. Nature is so wonderful. Wow. We like to think of it in these like competitive, like survival, you know, constant like death and destruction. Yeah, you know, there's certainly death there, but it is a lot more cooperative. It is a lot more beneficial and symbiotic than we originally thought. That all of these mechanisms need each other to survive just as we need them to survive. So we've gone into the forest. We've found a really healthy spot where people don't walk around and there's not a bunch of trash laying around. And we've collected some of this healthy, what's called leaf mold soil. What I'm about to teach you is called Jadam microbial solution. It's one of the Jadam recipes. This gets a bacterial solution back into your land. So we've collected our leaf mold soil from a healthy location. We have a potato that's about the same amount of material as the soil that we've collected, a couple of handfuls. We're going to cook that potato, bake it or boil it, doesn't matter. Just get it to the point where you can squeeze it with your hand and make it mushy. And we're going to take that leaf mold soil and that potato, and we're going to put them into either a sock or a pantyhose or a cheesecloth or a paint strainer bag, just some sort of, you know, filter that has big holes on it, you know, and we're going to mash it up and work it around, and we're going to put it in a bucket of water. And we're going to mash that up and mash it around in that bucket of water. And we're going to let a lot of that solution sort of leak out into the water. And we're going to put a little bit of sea salt. Okay. The sea salt has to be pure sea salt, not ionized salt that you get, you know, at a restaurant, but pure sea salt, because this comes from the sea where you have natural minerals. You're going to put a small amount in the palm of your hand, and just a small, like a quarter size or a 10 peso size. And you put that into the water, mix that around for a while. And we're going to leave that sock in there. Preferably you want to put it on a stick and have it suspended in the center, but you can have it on the side.
Yeah,
it's okay. And we're going to leave that in a shaded spot for about 48 hours, roughly 48 hours. If it's cooler, it might take longer. If it's hotter, it could take shorter. If it gets too cold, like if you get down into the, I wish I knew what the Celsius conversion was, but if you get below 65 degrees Fahrenheit, you need to bring it into your house and do this fermentation inside. And we're doing a fermentation. We're taking all of those beneficial microorganisms from the leaf mold soil, and we're growing that stuff out onto water. And this, you're going to take the health of the forest, and we're now going to apply it to a water solution. And we can take that water solution, dilute it down 1 to 30, and then apply that into your farm, into your garden, into your soil. And do that pretty regularly. You know, if you have a big garden, once a week for the first month. If you have something where you're just trying to get you know, health back in your soil, then you can do it once a month for, I would say, a year or so. And these are free, easy materials. You know, the potatoes cost a little bit of money. Sea salt might cost a little bit of money, but water, leaf mold, soil, and you're going to start bringing in the initial crux of what brings health into our soil, and that's the bacteria. The bacteria is going to attract other different microorganisms. It's going to attract little tiny bugs, and those bugs are going to bring in other microorganisms, and those are going to bring in birds, and you'll start to notice an ecosystem developing on your land, and you'll start attracting these other beneficial components to what makes nature nature, you know. And this is what is sort of a very simple and easy recipe to get you started. There's a lot more nuance and detail I could get into that, but basically,
wow.
You know, soil, potato, sea salt, water, let that ferment for 2 days, dilute it down into a bunch of more water and put that on your soil.
You said one in 30, right?
1 to 30. Yeah. 1 to 30 is the ratio. And you can just look up Jadam microbial solution. And, Young Sung Cho has a YouTube channel where he goes through basically the entire Jadam process. So all of this information is open source and free. That's why I call my educational platform Open Source Farmer. Cause you know, we have to do this. We have to get that information out there. If we try to gatekeep it, we try to lock it behind all of these paywalls, then the movement will crumble. The movement will not be able to really take off. We have to empower the farmer. We have to give that farmer the ability to take control of their land and have options. That's been a real scary problem for farmers, is that they don't have options. They're like, oh, the only thing I know is to go get this fertilizer. And then because I did the fertilizer, I now have pests and bugs. So now that I have bugs, I have to go buy this pesticide. You know, and it becomes this cyclical nature, and farmers don't know what to do. And that's why when we start to learn how to do Korean natural farming and Jadam, and learn how to grow your own mushrooms and make your own mushroom compost, you don't need those things anymore. Now you're the fertilizer creator. We are the ones that can create these things that develop health, that create just as much yield as any chemical fertilizer can produce. And people say that organic produces less yield. That's not true. It's absolutely not true. We just have this transition time where we've got 2, maybe 3 years where we have to take this degraded soil that's just been damaged and destroyed, and we have to revitalize it and get it back to the health that nature wants it to be. So these are some wonderful tools to give the power back to the farmer so that they can control their finances, which if you want me to get into a little more geopolitics about how finances work with farmers, I can do that a little bit too.
Please share that those thoughts with us.
Yeah. So one of the main reasons why Korean natural farming was sort of necessary in Korea is because after the Korean War, the American government came in and said, wow, your country is like decimated. You have all these agricultural problems. Let's bring in our experts, our scientists, and we're going to bring in these farming methods. We're going to give you these chemicals for free. We're going to make a agreement with your government. We're going to give you all the herbicides and all the pesticides for free. We're going to teach you how to till. We're going to teach you how to basically scorch your land with chemicals and tilling. And it'll grow. Absolutely. If you do that method, if you do our conventional chemical farming, you're going to get a whole bunch of yield. It's going to be very sick and weak and non-nutritious yield, but you certainly will get a lot of vegetables. Hmm. And then what happens is they have made their yields. They're making money. These farms are becoming successful. And our government goes, or other agricultural companies, I shouldn't say our government, they're intricately tied, but the agricultural companies go, great, that's awesome. We see that you have success. We see that you're growing all this food. You have all this yield. We're going to take away the aid now. We're going to stop giving you these fertilizers. We're going to start giving you these pesticides and herbicides, and you can come buy them from us now, right? Because you're being successful, you're making money. And because of their agreements with the governments, they know exactly how much money each farm is making. So they can now tailor their fertilizers and their regimens to match the amount of money that farmer makes. So they never really truly get ahead. And Now the land is like a heroin addict. It is addicted to these chemicals. It's addicted to these fertilizers. You have to do this method or your next year, you're not going to grow anything at all. And a lot of farmers cannot, most farmers cannot wait a year or two to have higher yields, to be able to pay the bank back, to be able to pay these companies back for the amount of money that they've spent. So out of that necessity is where Korean Natural Farming and Jadam came from, because they saw the damage it had done to the land. They saw the handicap that it put the people on of not having any options except this one chemical method. And Hong Kyu Cho, the master, he went to different countries in the Asian area, studied for a long time, brought it back to his country, and just started teaching for free. Just gave the methods out to his entire country and had all of Korea change to an organic method. And out of necessity, right? Because you can see the manipulation from the agricultural department in not allowing true success for a farmer. You know, and that's how they get you. They get you hooked on it just like a drug.
Yes, you know,
and nature has a better way, you know, and what's great is all of these things are around us. All of this stuff is widely available wherever you live locally. You can custom tailor your fertilizer regimen, your bug regimen to your land. It's all available. It's one of those things that, of course, they hid from us for a long time. This is old knowledge. This is nothing new. These are old farming techniques that have now finally been collated into like a single educational platform. And, you know, it's going to take the world by storm if we just keep spreading it far and wide, get the information out there as freely and easily as possible, and humanity will just take over.
No, yeah, definitely. Word, brother. Yes, yes. You've mentioned so many important topics that I have written down here, but something that I take out of this is the free education concept. That's something that it's already out there that you are definitely pushing very thoroughly and amazingly through the Cultivated Mind. So that's something very important. Though this knowledge, it's already there. And we need to accept that we need to reconnect with that, because definitely we go to school and this is one of the first things that honestly we should be taught, right? To grow your food, to grow your food and take care of your land and probably work with wood and build some chairs and a table. Probably that should be precisely the school that we should all go to. And with that, well, we're going to have all the tools basically that we need not to be dependable of the system, because true independence, it's taking control of our alimentation base, right?
Right, right. Decentralizing, creating that skill base, which goes back to, you know, a little bit of advice maybe I can give to people is, learn a new skill. You know, I think we've kind of been mentioning it a little bit here, but you need to go out of your way to take the time to get an audiobook and learn something new, learn a trade, learn a trick, even if it's not something that you end up doing in the end, as long as you know it. Like, for example, when I build houses, the building houses, all the construction, the electrical work, the plumbing has easily transitioned itself into farming. Like if I didn't know the construction stuff, it would have made farming way harder. I would have had to relearn a bunch of things because I need to know how to grade land. I need to know how to lay a pipe down so that it allows water to flow a certain way. I need to know how to understand how to connect electricity so that I don't electrocute myself. You know, there's all these little skills, you know, that are involved in creating this system. And I encourage people to start learning them. It doesn't have to be that. It can be learning electronics, for example. Yes. You know, I know that right now it's definitely difficult to communicate freely just because of the infrastructure of our power lines, of the cell towers. And I know that Above Phone is doing some really great work in that and trying to get us some privacy and get us communication. We shouldn't shy away from technology. We need to incorporate it. We need people to be, you know, learning how to program, how to code, so that we are the on the forefront of the future. You know, technology can be a demon or it can be an angel. You know, it all depends on if we create that future. I forget who said it, but the quote goes, it is easier to create the future than predict it. So instead of us trying to figure out what the enemy is going to do or what the other, you know, what the powers that be are going to do, we create our own system. And that might mean self-improvement, you know, looking inward, saying, what do I know? How can I contribute to this movement specifically? What have I done in my past or what would I like to do and get to it? Audiobooks are a great way to do that. You're doing your daily job, but you can pop an earphone in and you can listen to, you know, How to Garden on a book while you're doing that. My second one is Drop of Ice. I used to play video games a lot, like so much. It was taking up way too much of my time. And that was part of that sort of being complacent, you know, before the pandemic, before COVID. Ah, I've worked, I've got this hard day. Now I just want to come home and relax and just, you know, veg out on some video games for a while. Well, it was tough, but I put that down, completely stopped after COVID. And all everything went into farming, researching viruses, learning about our medical system, unfortunately. You know, it took a lot of self-education for that first, I would say, 2-3 years of just hitting the books. And that time that I spent playing video games was now spent studying. And it has paid itself back 100-fold. You know, I've been playing video games for 15 years. I've been researching medical interventions for about 2 years. And that has brought me far more success in life, the educational side, than vegging out and you know, sort of, you know, relaxing a little bit, but also wasting your time.
Yes, yes. And so, yeah. And someone might be listening to us, Sean, and be like, but Sean, what do you mean? I go to my doctor and I go to my pharmacy and I get my medicines and they make me feel good and all that. What do you mean that the pharma and the doctors and the big pharma are not taking care of me? How can you say that?
Well, right. There. This goes into the massive amount of propaganda that we are just daily indulged with. I mean, there is so much that people have shut their minds off to even want to look at it because it's so horrifying that your survival instincts kick in. Right. So when people are like, oh, I feel okay, this is what the doctor's telling me. The next step of having to go, wait a minute, is something not right, is so terrifying to some people that that thought immediately gets shut off in their brain.
Cognitive dissonance.
That's definitely right. Exactly. That's cognitive dissonance kicks in and it's just too much to look at. What I can say is that enlightenment comes through suffering. Some of these people will have to suffer first before they make their own decision to start digging a little deeper. Because if you've now suffered, right? So looking into it's not going to make you suffer more. They've already attained that amount of suffering out of just, you know, not paying attention, not choosing the suffering that they want. So I chose this suffering. I chose to look at this terrible information. And now I've suffered. Now I've done the thing that if I didn't pay attention to would eventually hurt me anyways. And I've come out of it ahead. I've come out of it enlightened, you know, that the coming out the other side of that tunnel, whenever you've gone through that pain, whenever you've gone through, you know, a terrible situation, it brings enlightenment. It brings knowledge. And then when you go forward again, you know how to respond to those things. You know how to take control of your life. So the medical industry has been a stark jolt to figure out what's been going on, because I was just in line with that too. I think I ended up really offending somebody, and I need to find this person and apologize to them about me sort of mocking their belief that you could fix stage 4 cancer with food. You know, I used to be one of those people, that, oh, you can't just do that with nutrition. You can't just do that with healthy living. You got to go get cancer treatment, you know? And as I've gone on, and a lot of things have been revealed to me about how unhealthy our food is and how we're creating these cancers in the first place, you know, especially with, you know, what's been going on with the vaccine, all the turbo cancers that have been happening, it's eye-opening, and it's humbling, and it's like, okay, wow. So there's been this movement in the background that I, as someone who have not been paying attention to, have been mocking and ridiculing. And then when it ends up hurting me, when my mom ended up getting cancer, you know, and then so you're like, okay, now I need to dive into this. There's that suffering. That suffering happened because I wasn't paying attention. And if I had chose to look at that in the beginning, maybe I could have made some other decisions. She's fine, by the way. She went through, you know, some treatment remission. I'm actually giving her medical mushrooms to keep her in remission. Lots of turkey tail and reishi that I grow reishi, here. Nice. And that's how I can start to help, you know, break that sort of malaise of the medical environment, is to offer other options. You know, people seem to be okay with mushrooms. You know, a lot of people have adverse reactions to cannabis, and that's fine. A lot of people seem to like mushrooms. So we need to find those tools that can help people sort of understand, especially whenever there are medical documents that are being produced about not only, you know, all kinds of medical mushrooms like reishi and turkey tail and chaga, but also psychedelics like psilocybin that are coming up and having a great success in peer-reviewed academic studies. And that's awakening the public as well. So I would encourage people that you can find these research studies out there. There are documents showing the efficacy of natural healing and natural treatment, and maybe pull those up. Maybe some people are more inclined to look at a medical data from a doctor. Well, use those people against them. Use the doctor's own technology and their own words to go, hey, these are the people you agree with. Here are the doctors. Here are the people that you trust saying these things. And you know, these things are out there. They're happening. You just need to do a little bit of research. And make sure that whenever you approach these people, you approach them with grace, and you approach them with a little bit of leniency, but have all the information and data and plant seeds and say, hey, check out this research study from this doctor. What do you think about this? You know, and that's been a big help for me, because I can be someone who wants to just dump information on people, and they go, ooh, what was that? That's too much. I can't just turn it off. So, you know, a little bit of grace, ease them into it. You know, we can do this. We can win this journey. You know, we just need to come prepared. You know,
yeah. That's the first steps to these decentralized food systems that we're talking about these regenerative agriculture and way of thinking, and even the regenerative future that's basically what we want to build.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got the tools. We've got the tools to do it. Things are definitely happening. We just need to tie up our shoelaces and just sort of get to work. You know, everything, nothing happens, you know, on its own. We'll be the creators. We'll be the engineers of our own destiny.
Yes, the masters of our own universe. Totally. Yes. And all this, Sean, is very important because, well, this year we both, the US and Mexico, it's one of those years in which the awful energetic stealing process of elections take place for both countries. So we are living this particular moment in which the elections, and we are bombarded by all these lies and messages. And again, I do think that it's all about stealing our energy, you know, and dividing us and propagating and normalizing all this division that partyism and elections provoke and all that. And I think it's important to stop and take a breath and know that the true voting process, it's every day with our lifestyle, which is precisely what you're saying, with our lifestyle, with each decision that we take of our time and our energy, and the decisions that we take with our money, that so precious and so difficult money that it's to get, with lifestyle and taking control of our money, putting it in the local, putting it in not in the corporations that are bombarding Palestine, not in the local companies that are stealing the water and polluting the air every day, like not putting our money and our decisions there, rather in the local, that's where the change starts. That's where the true voting process takes sense and truly creates changes, not through going and giving all of our energy out and hoping that change happens. It is within us. No, the transformation definitely need to occur inside us, each of us, every day. We all need to work, and we are all working towards that one day at a time. But then when we go outside, we vote that way.
With every decision, we make a vote in our lives. You know, it's being conscious, consciously aware of the decisions that you do make. And it can be tough. I mean, it really, really can be hard. Like, there is a place over here in Houston, where, they only take credit cards and they don't have menus. And I walked into this place and, you know, as soon as I figured this out, I was like, no, I'm out of here. Bye. You know, you turn around, you walk out, you know? So, and, but some people are like, ah, just whatever, you know, I just want to get my food and get going. That's why I think it's so important that we continue to build these opportunities, because there will always be people that do that and are going to be fine with that. But then there's always going to be that percentage that are not going to be fine with that and are looking for alternatives. We just need to provide them with the alternatives. I think we're in the process of putting out that energy right now. Like I said, I'm challenging somebody to find me a sustainable electrical system, send it to me, you know, and we will put together a plan on how to get people step one, step two, step three out of their system so that they can start taking place in this parallel economy, in this parallel, you know, community, where it doesn't necessarily have to be everyone living on a big compound somewhere. No, we're all just developing a network so that we communicate with each other and we do business with each other, which is just as important. That's that voting with your dollar. That's why I created the Mushroom Company, because education's great. You don't really make a whole lot of money off of that. You get some donations every once in a while. But, you know, build a business for yourself. Become an entrepreneur if that is what is your desire. It's going to take a lot of work. The challenges are great, but the rewards are even greater. Absolutely. And then developing this network, everyone building business with each other, developing relationships with each other. It's going to take a little bit of time. Again, I try to think on like a long-term sort of galactic scale. We're at a certain point. We're refining this process. We already went through like the suffering stage. Now we're in the creative building stage, where we're sort of taking all of these broken pieces and putting them together to create order out of all the chaos that's been around us. And we're building the foundations right now. So just keep at it. Keep looking ahead, keep building those skills. Everybody keep coming together. We need to get another community event together quickly. The once a year thing is too far apart. Let's get some things going on like once a quarter even. That's why if everybody wants to follow me on Open Source Farmer, I'm putting out educational classes in Houston. I am going to start doing a few live streams of them here in the next couple of months. And just sort of dropping little hints on trying to get people engaged, you know, because it'll be out to the public. So I can't talk about too many things, but, you know, just drop seeds, you know, for people. And you'd be really surprised. There are people that I did classes for years ago that are contacting the Greater Reset going, "Hey, Sean, I haven't seen you in a long time." I'm like, how did you even know about the Greater Reset? I've never talked about that. I've never even mentioned that. And they just happened to stumble across it, you know, and these tendrils are getting out there. The mycelium is growing. We're connecting to people that just have no connection whatsoever to a parallel economy, and it's starting to lighten people up and wake people up. You know, I really can't wait to see what the future holds. You know, I really thank you for inviting me here. Thank you for letting me get all of this out, and you know, hopefully we can change some minds, and it's a very exciting time, Ramiro.
Yeah, definitely. No, thank you for sharing all this, Sean, and for the inspiration. And of course, everyone that is listening, they can reach out through Open Source Farmer in Telegram. This is important. They can reach out to you for, I know that there's going to be consultations and more questions that start from this conversation that we're having. There's definitely, it's a great moment to realize that we can transform all the chaos that we see out there. We can take the control and the decisions to go beyond sustainable, to be truly regenerative in the way we think, in the way we connect with each others. Now I listen to you and I know we listen to you, and it's pretty clear why I called you a citizen scientist, because you're curious, because you go mm-hmm. out there and you are sharing. That's so important, sharing the information that we should all have since forever. No, we at We Are Not Zombies, we have a free library in which you have access to an amazing permaculture guide. There's Social Disobedience by Thoreau. There's Art of War and all these free books. It's a punk library. You know, you just go in and download the PDF books, because we believe we should have free access to these mind and soul expanding words, because you said it perfectly. We are dropping seeds, but we've always been dropping seeds through all our humankind and all our incarnations. That's the story of our resistance. We've been dropping seeds and we've been picking up seeds, and we are right now listening and reading and seeing movies and finding those seeds everywhere and doing the same thing. And this is I think the foundation of our true human resistance, that we recognize in each other through these seeds of love and caring and empathy and sharing. And before we go, I also want you to share with us all this passion and connection with your mushroom grower side and all this project, which is also very, very powerful. And it's almost the cherry on top of all these that we've been talking to.
Yeah. Thank you very much. The website is cultivated-mind.com. Don't forget the dash. So this, you know, this company was born out of this necessity to heal my friends and family. I had been growing, obviously I told you to grow cannabis for a long time. My nephew actually had infantile seizures, and through my connections, I found some very high quality CBD. Within 1 month, his seizures stopped completely. Like, they had put him on all these pharmaceutical drugs and all these things that were just making him worse. And within 1 month, CBD cannabis had cured this infant's of 30 seizures a day. It was completely outrageous. So, seeing that happen, healing my wife using mushrooms. She was taking a lot of pharmaceutical antidepressants and SSRIs. That was a huge journey to get her off of all of those. A lot of ups and downs in that process. But when I saw how mushrooms, and she saw and felt the difference in her body and in her mind whenever we started administering this medicine, of course, there's a couple of things involved. You change your diet. You can't just keep eating the same garbage over and over again. That's going to make it difficult to heal. And you change your environment, right? If you have something really negative in your life that's really traumatizing you, like, let's say, like a bad relationship, you know, healing is going to be very difficult while you're still in that terrible, abusive relationship, because that cycle of that repeated bad behaviors just keep happening. So, with some diet change, with some environment change, a mental change, and with mushrooms. We use lion's mane because it heals the brain. It actually regrows neurons in your brain. it also has gut health benefits, which we have seen direct correlation between the gut biome and the brain. And when you heal both of these at the same time, you get immense benefits with your mental cognitive abilities. So when I saw that happen in her, when she felt it happen in her, when I started giving my mom turkey tail and reishi mushrooms and seeing all the research behind its anti-cancer properties, there was no other direction for me to go but to create a mushroom company and say, hey, here is real medicine that is really helping people. It's not too difficult to do. It's difficult running a company and getting it all out to the public, but it's been probably the most difficult thing in my entire life, but it's been the most joyous thing in my entire life. It's been a very beneficial stress to see the change in the people that have been taking this. And I have a whole slew, like I have a book of people that mushrooms have been helping over the course of the last 2 years. And it's just too stark and too evident to see the power of what nature can do in the body and not just run with it. So I encourage everybody else, get out there, find that thing that brings you passion, find that thing that's really changing in your life. And when you love it, when you enjoy doing it, the money and the joy and the happiness just comes along with it. You don't even have to work for the money. The money will just happen when you're doing the thing that you love, that is creating change. It is creating this environment for positive energy to vibrate and radiate outwards. And then when it comes back, it's 100-fold, you know. So I encourage everyone to get out there, learn a new skill, drop a vice, build yourself up, grow some mushrooms.
Yeah, I love that. I love it because also it's so easy to grow mushrooms, right? I mean, some kind of mushrooms. Really, I don't know if all, but it's definitely easy.
So oyster mushrooms are super simple to grow. The Korean Natural Farming was a huge help in me learning how to grow mushrooms. It actually made mushroom growing simpler, because soil health is way more difficult than growing mushrooms.
Sometimes in your closet, you can grow mushrooms, no?
Absolutely. You can grow them in your closet. You can grow them in your backyard. You can grow them in a shed. I mean, you can grow them pretty much anywhere. There's definitely some processes and steps, and I'm going to be releasing some classes on how to do that soon as well. But just look it up. Look up mushroom logs. You know, mushroom logs are really easy to do. We have free wood laying around your property, and you get it going there. That's a great first step for people who are just beginning.
Amazing. Amazing, Sean. Sounds amazing. Definitely mushrooms and permaculture are the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Great foundation to stand on.
Sean, what would you say? I understand, and correct me if not, that the drive behind this is health and it's love for family, for yourself. But what's also the inspiration? What's the, you know, what gets you out every day and what inspires you to continue the research, the growing, the learning, the turning every day into a nature doctor and all this magic?
You know, that's definitely a tough one. Maybe it is a little selfish. There's a little bit of selfishness, I think, involved in the fact that I can see this wonderful thing that has yet to come to fruition. And I enjoy being on the cusp of it. I enjoy getting out there to the public and teaching people. And I love seeing people's eyes light up and go, oh my God, I didn't know nature did that. You know, and then that's sort of awakening. And I'll admit it's maybe a little selfish because I enjoy seeing people light up. I enjoy seeing that little bit inside of them go, oh my God, this foundational truth that I had no idea that was around me at all times is right here under my feet and I can make a change. And it's just it's a good feeling inside to feel that. That's what gets me up every day. That's what gets me going is this moment of chaos, this moment of awakening and enlightening, and being at the forefront of it. It's a beautiful time to be a teacher right now.
Amazing. Amazing, brother. Always, always a teacher, always a student. We should all go through that. Know that we are all, we can all learn from each other and the world. It's a classroom every day. And there's masters and teachers in the most unexpected incarnation, no matter the age.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know, and you already mentioned it because we asked you in the interview we made in Morelia, the Greater Reset. But I want to know again, Sean, let's give it a new round to it. But what's for you not being a zombie?
So, yeah, not being a zombie is being able to control the monkey mind. You know, it wants to trick us. It wants to get us into bad situations. And when we control our desires, whenever we can really take command of our action, that's really what it becomes. It's we're not seeing the food over there and go, oh, food. You know, it's I see food over there, but I'm all right. I'm just gonna hold off. I'm gonna to sort of put that desire off. And then when you do that, then you can truly enjoy things. Then you can truly find pleasure in the things that you desire, but you have the strength and the willpower to control. And when we control that monkey mind, the world really opens up for us. That's when that whole idea of becoming a zombie completely goes out the window and enlightenment happens and wisdom starts to happen. And you can see the mechanisms around you for what they really are. So just like the Buddhists say, you know, desire is the root of all suffering. And when you control that, when you learn that, you know, enlightenment is right around the corner.
Oh, beautiful, brother. Thank you so much. And of course, this is let's have this just be the tipping point for a longer, larger conversation and co-creation that we can make together. Definitely, let's have some new ideas for your next visit to Mexico, and we'll go, of course, to Houston. Let's connect to the cultivated-mind.com. And also, I mean, all the knowledge that you're sharing every day. But I met you in Morelia this year at the Greater Reset No. 5. Amazing, amazing, powerful event. And you gave this talk, Natural Farming, a Regenerative Solution to a Chaotic World, which is available online. I recommend everyone to go listen it. The one that you gave 1 year before, if I'm not mistaken, in Texas. It's also free online. So it's very important to go listen to these conversations. Thank you for all the sharing, for the work, for everything that you just shared. I am totally inspired to go grow, totally have power of the food and decentralize and be more regenerative. I take, of course, the idea of having control of our desires to partner with nature, to find a team. So important to find a team. And of course, I love the concept of delayed gratification. Let's not look for the immediate gratification, but delay it, because there's always something better that we are going to. And let's be powerful dreamers. Let's imagine the world that we are creating every day and be powerful dreamers, because we are definitely making real what we started dreaming a few years ago. Thank you so much, Sean, for not being a zombie and for your time. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Romero. I really appreciate you having me on. Thank you for this time to converse and enlighten one another.
Thank you, bro. Let's go on.
All right. You have a good day.
Great to you. Same to you.